To add to what, to what Carly said about praying before, you know, you get into your car, that's something I always do. I ask the Lord to go before me and make my path clear and plain, and move all of the irresponsible people out of my way, and help me to be responsible while I'm also on the road. And, you know, but anyway, yesterday, my son, Matthew, texted me, and he said, "Mom, I could have been dead." And I'm like, "What? What happened?" And he said, some guy was driving on the wrong side of the road, doing at least 8 to 5 miles an hour. And he swerved to, you know, to keep the guy from hitting him and plowed through 4 yards. Tore up somebody's mailbox. But you know what? God was so good, he was not hurt. His bumper was a little bit, you know, a little bit dinged up. But, you know, what's a dinged up bumper compared to your life? You know, and that was God. You know, and, you know, that happened to me, too. One time I was exiting off of 431 to go into Columbus, onto 280, and some lady was coming up the ramp. I mean, it's an off-ramp, and she's coming up, and I had to pull to the side to keep, you know, from colliding with her. So, you know, God is good, you know, and he's always looking out for us, even when, you know, we are not aware of it. And I was thankful because I don't need to be burying anybody.
Oh, amen.
You know, so I give God praise, honor, and glory. Amen. And thank him. Let's go into prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness and your mercies, Lord, that endure forever. You are a faithful God, a good God, full of mercy and compassion. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, oh God, for the gift that you've given us. This season, we're getting ready to celebrate that gift. And Lord, thank you, oh God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for everything that you have done for us. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that you would help us, that we would realize and appreciate the awesome gift that you have given us, and that we would, you know, position ourselves, Lord, in a way that we can be a blessing to your kingdom, be a blessing to the body of Christ. Because, Lord, you keep giving. You have given us a gift that keep on giving. And, Lord, the least we can do, Lord, is give of ourselves back to you. I ask, Lord, that your blessing will be on this lesson, that you will be with my mouth. Help me to say what, Lord, you would have me to say. And let this lesson be a blessing and an encouragement to everyone who hears it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm continuing from last week's lesson on staying connected. Now, once again, you know, I believe God likes to play with me. I had it all in my head, figured out what you know, how this lesson is going to go, what I'm going to say, and everything. And then I start typing, and it just goes totally different. It's like the Lord said, you know, I'm in control here, which I'm glad of, you know. I said, Lord, you can be in control anytime. Okay, John 15:5. This is what we read last week. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. If ye remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, ye can do nothing. I want us to home in on the last, this last verse here. Apart from me, he can do nothing, absolutely nothing. You know, when I remember years ago back in Children's Church, we were teaching the kids about about this human flesh not being the real us, and that we have a spirit that lives inside of us, and when that spirit departs our body, we're dead. You know. We're all here looking at each other, but this outward thing that we're seeing, that's not us.
That's right.
This is just the house that that's we right. live in. Just like this here, this building that we're in, it's referred to as the church, but actually we're the church.
That's right.
This is just the gathering place. Uh-huh. This is just the place that houses the church, which is us. All right? And so as I started my lesson, I began, you know, by typing, you know, that in a few days we'll be celebrating Easter, so the celebration of the Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It was because he was victorious over death, grave, and hell, that we too, as children of God, can be victorious over death, over hell, and over the grave. You know, this body may die and be put into the earth or wherever. There's a lot of cremation going around these days. But the real us, if we are connected to God like we should be, the real us is not in that grave. The real us is not in that tomb. Uh-huh. The real us is with God.
Right.
Then Paul said, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, I'm telling you, this is not in my notes. It's just... It's,
come on.
But the key is, in order for us to be victorious, in order for us to arise, you know, from the grave, we have to be connected. And we'll be victorious just like Jesus was. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who loved us enough to give his life for us? Jesus. And then he conquered death and he arose from the dead. And as a result, we became connected. Before we were separated from him. You know, the death, when Adam and Eve sinned, and sin entered the world, it disconnected them from God and from his presence. But when and all of mankind, as a result, had that disconnect. But when Jesus came, he bridged the gap. And so now we can be connected, but we have to make that connection. You know, he doesn't force it on us. We have to stay connected. When we make that connection, we have to stay connected. There are benefits, you know, to being connected. We're more than conquerors. That's what the Bible says. He always causes us to triumph. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. In whom? Christ. He causes us to triumph. He connected us by his blood, through his blood. We're connected, you know, through his resurrection. We're connected. But we have to do something. You know, there are things that we have to do. I heard a story, and I may not be telling it correctly, but it went something like this. There was this guy that was on his rooftop. He was caught in some kind of a flood or something, and he prayed and asked God for help. And so this big giant log came floating by, you know, and he was afraid to jump on the log, so he let the log pass. Then a helicopter came by, and, you know, they put the rope down, but he was afraid of heights, and he stayed there. Then a boat came by loaded with some people, and he looked at the boat, and he said, there are too many people in this boat. If I go in, you know, I'll sink the boat. So he let the boat pass. Eventually, the man died, but he went to heaven. But he asked God, Lord, why didn't you save me? And God said, I sent you 3 opportunities. Why didn't you take one? You know? See, he had to do something. He had to either jump on the log or, you know, take the helicopter ride or jump in the boat, and he didn't do anything. It's up to us to keep that connection with our Heavenly Father because of what Jesus did. When the enemy comes against us, Isaiah 59:19 says, when he comes against us, some people, I used to read it like this, when the enemy comes against us like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But then I heard Creflo say that's the wrong way to read it. He said we should read it, when the enemy comes against us like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Well, you know what? As long as God lift up a standard, that's all I care about. I don't, you know, I'm not too picky. He will lift up that standard because we belong to Him. We're connected to Him, right? And God is in the business of taking care of His people. When we stay connected, we will bear fruit and be victorious, not in ourselves because we're so powerful, you know, but because without Him, we are nothing. This morning, I woke up and I was at the sink doing some dishes, and I was, you know, thinking, I was going over this lesson in my head, and the Holy Spirit gave me an analogy, and He said, you know, when a woman is pregnant, she has a baby inside her stomach. And that baby gets its nourishment through the umbilical cord. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. Now, I would have never thought about that. You know, whatever that mommy eats, whatever that mother eats, the baby eats. Whatever that mother drinks, you know, the baby drinks. So, to those of you pregnant mothers out there, you better eat good stuff. So, you know, the mother... nourishes that baby through that connection, through the umbilical cord. If that umbilical cord is severed, that poor baby will die. How does he or she get his food? Well, you know what? Jesus, God, is our umbilical cord. We have to stay connected. It's up to us. You know, He doesn't come and grab us, you know, and slap us a couple of times behind the head and say, stay connected. When my kids were little and we're going places, you know, and they're lagging behind, I'm telling them, stay with me, come on, stay, keep up with me, you know. But we have to make that effort, you know, to stay attached to God, because there are benefits when we stay connected. You know, I remember years ago, I was teaching, and I told a story about a chicken hawk that swooped down. My mom used to raise chickens, and this chicken had about 10 or 12, this hen, mother hen, had about 10 or 12 chickens, and, you know, they were all with her, but this one chicken lagged behind. All the rest are up front with the mother. This one chicken lagged behind. And there was a hawk, there was a chicken hawk up on a branch in a coconut tree. And that hawk waited for the perfect time when that mother was not, you know, was away from that chicken. That chicken was all alone. And he swooped down. And by the time the mother hen realized what was going to think, the thing startled me because, I mean, all I knew, there was this big commotion. There was wings flapping and feathers flying and a cloud of dust, and the mother hen was keeping a whole bunch of noise, and I didn't know what was going on. You know, I'm standing there thinking, what in the world? But when the dust cleared, I saw the hawk ascended, and in his feet, he had that little chick. Why? Because he didn't stay connected. He was off someplace, you know, the mother hen and the rest of brothers and sisters were with, you know, were one place, and that chicken hawk waited for the perfect time and swooped down and ate that chicken. You know, when we are not connected, that's what Satan does us. Then the Bible says that the enemy goes wrong like a what? Roaring lion, seeking. He have to seek whom he may devour. He can't just devour anybody at will. But he looks for that one person that's not connected, that one person that's vulnerable, you know, that one person that's unaware, that's not being vigilant. And then he'll pounce. You know, he doesn't play fair. And so we have to do our part in staying connected to God. You know, because it says in Acts 17:28 that in Him we live and move and have our being. It's in Him that we live. You know, take Him out the picture and we're dead. On my way here, I was listening to, I could never remember his name. He comes on in the afternoon around 6:30. Anyway, you guys know who I'm talking about. And he was saying that, you know, a lot of times we think that that we're the ones making things happen. You know, we sometimes get conceited like that. We get a big head, and we like to, you know, think that it's us, but it's really God. God is the one, who's keeping us. It's His air that's in our lungs. If God should withhold that air, what will happen? We'll crumple up and die. It's He that keeps our circulatory system going. If our blood doesn't circulate properly like it should, we'll have some issues. So we live in Him. It's in Him we move, and it's in Him we have our being when we stay connected to the vine. When we, you know, just like the fruit, the branch of the tree that stays connected, it bears fruit, doesn't it? And it's nice and green, it flourishes. But when a storm comes and knocks that branch off, or the gardener or somebody cuts that branch, what happens to the branch? It withers up. If it has fruit, the fruit will die. You know, we have to make that effort. We have to, stay connected, because especially in these times where we're living, if we don't stay connected, Satan will devour us. He'll make chump of us. Because that's the reason He comes, to steal, kill, and destroy, according to John 10:10. It's the only reason He comes. Either to steal, and if He can't steal, He'll kill, and if He can't do that, He'll try to destroy, mess us up. But when we're connected to God, you know, He covers us. He keeps us under His wings. Like that mother hen, you know, she will spread her wings. And it always amazes me, no matter how many chickens she has, those chickens are able to get under her, and they're protected. You know, she may have 12 baby chicks, but she spreads her wings out, and those chickens, they just go under there, and they're covered. When we, you know, when we are connected, we are covered. The enemy is going to come, but we are covered. And, you know, God wants us to connect with Him. He wants to give us victory. If we want victory, we have to learn how to stay connected to God. When we stay connected to Him, you know, we're honoring Him. Did you know that? Yeah. You know, if our parents was to, cook a dinner or something and invite the kids and say, I'm cooking this delicious dinner, and I'm inviting you all to come so that we can eat. And we promise that we'll show up. The dinner is at 7 o'clock. 7:30, nobody shows up. 8 o'clock, no one shows up. 9 o'clock, no one shows up. 10 o'clock, no one shows up. Do you think that parent will feel honored? No. You know, when we don't honor God, when we disconnect, make that disconnect from Him, we're not honoring Him. You know, I never thought of it that way until I was doing this lesson. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, even back in those days, people didn't want to honor God like they should. They wouldn't show up like they should, you know, to the synagogue or wherever it was they showed up. I can't remember exactly where. I've read it several times, where Jesus was in the temple, and the Bible says, as His custom was. This was a regular thing that Jesus did. He showed up in the temple, and He took the book and He read, you know, where, you know, the word was prophesying about Him. We don't realize it, but when we don't honor God, when we disconnect, we begin to stray from stray away like that one chicken did. Didn't, you know, stay with the mother hen and got devoured. The same thing happens to us when we do not honor God by showing up in His house. Now, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm just saying what the word says. It says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. When we come to the house of God, that's one way that we can connect. We connect with God. We connect with each other. You know, we strengthen each other. We encourage each other. You know, we position ourselves in the right atmosphere to hear from God. You know, when we're out there, there's all this hustle and bustle and noise and everything else, and sometimes it can drown out the word of God and we can't hear. But when we come to the house of God, you know, there's a different atmosphere here. There's the, you know, the atmosphere is charged with the presence of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, our minds are settled, and it's a lot easier to hear from Him. Years ago, this was back in the 80s, I had a big blowout on the phone with my brother. Oh, it was bad. Let me tell you, it was bad. We were arguing over our mom. And I was so upset. I can't even remember all what was said, but it was bad, guys. I mean, it was bad. And I called my friend, and, you know, she lived at Fort Benning at the time. We weren't in Fort Benning yet. And I was telling her what happened, and I said to her, you know, I'm so depressed. I don't think I'm coming to church tonight. And she said, forget about that. Come on to church. So, you know, I gathered my two young kids and we went to church. And, okay. Half of me was in church, but the other half, have you guys ever done this? Half of me is in church. I'm listening to Pastor Chandler. That was the pastor's name. But the other half is worrying about this big blowout on the phone. And there was a guy sitting right in front of me. And he got up and he was saying something. I don't know what he was saying, but I heard, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And instantly my spirit leapt. And, you know, pastor was, he was closing out. And once he had prayed and everything, I touched Billy's name was Billy. I said, what was that you just said? What was that word? And he said, well, I don't know who this is for, but God gave me this word for somebody. And it was Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let me tell you, when I heard that, it was like I was in a desert, a hot desert, and someone gave me a glass of cool water. It was so refreshing. I mean, I needed that. I really needed that. If I was not in the right place, if I did not position myself, I would have missed that word. You know, if I had allowed that argument, you know, and if I didn't have my friend to encourage me, to say, come on. You know, see, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to encourage each other. And if she had said, oh, just go take a Tylenol or something and lay down and sleep, that wouldn't have been good advice, would it? But she said, come on to church. You know, forget about it. Just come on. And thank God I went. And God had a word for me. You know, we go through a lot of stuff. And sometimes we have decisions to make, we have choices to make, we don't know which direction to go, should I, shouldn't I, when, you know, and all this stuff. If we position ourselves in the right place, in the right atmosphere, we can hear something from God. We can get direction, we can get guidance, you know, we can get counsel, whatever we need, we can get it. See, this is a benefit of being connected. But when we isolate ourselves, when we allow the problem to overwhelm us and we wallow in it, you know, and we dwell on it, we meditate on it, you know, God can, you know, it's difficult for us to hear because, you know, all these things are crowding our mind. And so it's very important for us to come to the house of God, you know, position ourselves in the right atmosphere so that when God speaks, we can hear what He's saying. And when, you know, when God speaks and we hear, we have answers, don't we? That's how solutions comes. You know, we're no longer confused. We, you know, we don't have to stress. We don't have to worry what we're going to do. You know, God gives us answers. Now, that's not to say that He can't speak to us any place else. That's not what I'm saying. okay? He can speak to you when you're driving, you know, he can speak to you when you're, you know, cleaning your house or whatever. But when you come to God's house, we honor him, and it's a way of staying connected. We connect with other believers. When we come together, you know, we can encourage each other. We can be a blessing. You know, we draw strength from each other. We draw strength from the word. So that when the enemy comes, like he's going to come, we're strong. You know, we're not caught in a snare. We're not, you know, broadsided. Uh-huh. That's what he likes to do. He likes to catch us unaware. It's important, you know, come into the house of God. When we honor God by coming to his house, we're connecting. We're staying connected. And that's you know, that's very important. In 1 Samuel 2:20, there was this priest called Eli. And Eli, you know, he had some sons who did not honor God. They committed a lot of, you know, atrocities in the temple. They slept with the women. They did not honor the sacrifice. They would demand the fattest part of the sacrifice and everything before it was time. I mean, they were just bad. And Eli never rebuked his sons. You know, he didn't, you know, really scold them and say, this is the house of God. You're supposed to honor the house of God, honor God's presence. And as a result, this is what God said through Samuel. He told Samuel, you know, to tell Eli, wherefore the Lord of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house, referring to Eli, and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now, said the Lord, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Them that honor me, will, God says, I'll honor them. And those that despise me, they will be lightly esteemed. I wouldn't have liked to hear that. See, we don't realize... you know, that when we come to the house of God, when we stay connected through his word, that's another way to stay connected, reading his word, meditating on it, we're honoring him. But when we get all caught up in whatever is going on in the world, you know, and whatever the enemy has thrown our way, and, you know, we just push God off to the side. Sometimes I believe we treat him like a spare tire. Uh-huh. You know, the spare tire, you don't ever think about it until you get a flat. Right. And then you open the trunk or wherever and you pull that tire out, you know, and you put it on. And then once we get the real tire fixed, then we throw the spare back in the trunk. And we forget about it until we need it again. That's dishonoring God. When we treat God like that. When we don't read the word, we don't come to church, we don't honor the house of God, we're not connected, we're not being connected. All these things can disconnect us from, you know, from him. You know, God is a good God, and he's faithful, and he's patient, and all that. But there are things that God requires from us, and one of the things is respect.
That's right.
You know, when I was a kid, And I went to church. There were things that I see, you know, happen in churches today that did not happen back then. Or at least I didn't know about it. People had a respect for the house of God. When the men came in, you know, they'd take off their hats. And, uh-huh. I mean, you know, they were quiet, sometimes a little too quiet. you know, they didn't just run back and forth and, you know, keep a bunch of unnecessary noise. Why? They were honoring the house of God. They were honoring God's presence. They were making sure that they were connected, even if it was for that moment. This was something that was drummed into us from back then. Of course, today society has changed, culture has changed. People just, you know, come in and they're all, you know, blasé about everything, have no respect for God's house. They, you know, parents don't teach their kids, you know, about honoring the house of God when they come. And so these kids grow up and, you know, the society have their way with them, and they're not connected. They're not easily connected. It's uh-huh. it's tough to pull them in because, you know, they did not have that foundation. God wants us to have that foundation. He wants us to keep that foundation, right? He wants us to connect. It's so important for us to stay connected with God. And like I said, it's not just coming to church. It's reading His Word. It's honoring Him so that we wouldn't be like Leah Steve. I think it was Joyce Myers that said, the depth of our praise determines our outcome or our breakthrough. It's something like that. You know, to the degree, this is me speaking now, to the degree that we honor God, to the degree that we are connected with Him, will determine our favor, the favor that we get, will determine the answers to our prayers, will determine our breakthrough. I mean, you know, but if we are blasé about everything, you know, and, you know, we just call out to God, even though He says, call upon me and I will answer thee, because He's a good God, He's faithful, and He says that those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God loves us more than we realize. But still, He wants, you know, He wants, He just doesn't want us to call out to Him when we're in, you know, just because we're in trouble, like that spare tire. It's good for the spare tire, you know. But we shouldn't treat God like that. You know, we should make that effort, make that extra effort, you know, to come to His house, get into His Word, get into His presence, not just when there's trouble brewing. You know, then we're praying and we're crying, and then when God answers our prayers and everything is hunky-dory, then we just forget about Him. How many times do we do that, you know? We have to make that effort, you know. We have to make, it's not always easy with everything that we have going, you know, kids and, you know, work and all the stuff, you know, pulling on us. So we have to find that place where we just put everything aside and focus on God. I heard about this lady that had all these kids, and it was very difficult for her to pray because, you know, the kids would always come in, you know, when, and I experienced that. Back in the day when my kids were little, I tell my kid, my two at the time, I just had two, do not bother me for the next hour. I am praying. This is my time to pray. And I said, I would make them repeat, do not bother me when I'm praying. Yes, Mom, it's your prayer time, you know. And I'd go into my room and close the door. About 15, 20 minutes later, Mom. And I mean, it used to drive me up a tree. What did I just tell these kids, you know? But this woman, you know, she couldn't do that. So when she was in the kitchen cooking, I heard, she would just pull her apron over her head, just stand there with the apron over her head. What was she doing? She was being connected. She was getting connected, shutting, even though she had to stand there in the middle of her kitchen in front of her stove with the apron over her head. You know, she was connecting. She was homing in to our God. And that's what we have to do. You know, we have to make the effort because it's not always easy. You know, if it was easy, everybody would do it. You know, but we have to make that effort. And when God see us putting that effort in, you know, And you see that we're honoring Him and that we want to stay connected with Him, it gives us victory. You know, victory will come when the enemy comes. You know, like the scripture says, when he comes in when the enemy comes against us, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, according to Creflo, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So I just want to encourage everyone here and everyone on Facebook or wherever you may be listening to this, make the effort to stay connected. You know, don't allow the world to pull you off. Don't get cut off like a branch, because you'll wither up and die, and you'll be thrown into the fire and be burned. Stay connected. When we stay connected, we're victorious, we're productive, we're fruitful, and we thrive. We're more than conquerors, but we must do our part. Stay connected.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.